Just heard somebody say, there goes all my makeup. They weren't talking about me. I wear cry-proof makeup. Zach, we will talk about this song tomorrow. Okay? Do you know how much God loves us? Man. And I put a tissue in my pocket on my way to Sunday school. And I'm so glad.
No.
All right. I know. You're saying, Jeff, pull it together.
You're good, bro.
That's right. All right. Let's pull it together here. God is worthy. Amen. And he's going to show us from his word just a little bit more about how worthy he is. Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 27 to 36. While you turn, it's on page 1187. And I'm going to do something that I'm blaming Zach for, but I think it's the right thing for me to do. I'm going to turn my mic off. I'm going to blow my nose. That way I don't sniff all the way through the sermon, okay? All right. Luke chapter 6, we'll read to here in just a few minutes from beginning in verse 27 through 36. I think I told you it's on page 1187 in the Pew Bible. Do you know that there is a difference between the word hear and the word listen? I can give you a great indication of the word hear and listen. When I go home, have for years, I'll probably pick up the remote eventually. Do you know that when I have the remote in my hand, I can hear you? Audibly, I can tell what's going on around me. But with the remote in my hand, sorry, Angela, I'm just not listening to you. Angela knows this. That's why we have celebrated technology. You know, we've gotten to the point where when we were on a dish provider where we could, our remote says, you can hit this button and it'll stop live TV. That's awesome. You can rewind it and watch it. I'm going, that's awesome. I think it saved my marriage. Because then I've learned, and now that we're a streaming family only, basically, yeah, you just pause it. And you can go back and listen to it all you want to. And so the reality is that when my wife speaks to me, I'll just turn it off. We'll spend our time talking because I've realized that, one, she's more important than TV, but sometimes this hearing and listening thing caused me not to act like it. Listening and hearing, very different things. And I think that biblically we get a chance to be challenged by that today as well. So let's stand together. We're going to read. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 27 to 36. And you go, Jeff, how long are we going to be in Luke chapter 6? Listen, Luke was the doctor who wrote this. He's the one who put this many verses in here. I just love what God's word says to us. And so let's read, picking up Luke chapter 6, picking up at verse 27. Red letters, Jesus is speaking here. Remember, he's teaching. It says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Thank you. You may be seated. Keep your scripture open. If you're a note taker, there are going to be a few things today that I'm going to encourage you to write down, and maybe the Spirit of God will encourage you to write down. There might be a few things here that you're going to go, Jeff, I'm not writing that down because I don't want to remember that. That's going to be that kind of sermon that we're facing today. Jesus continues to teach in these verses. We are in the Sermon on the Plain, you could say it. I don't believe that it's the Sermon on the Mount because there are pieces and parts missing from it, but I do believe it's Jesus teaching. And he began teaching in verse 20 of chapter 6 that we began last week. And if you remember from last week, Jesus taught of the four blessings that one who follows Christ will encounter. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. And blessed are you when you're reviled for my name's sake, for your reward is in heaven. Remember, we talked last week about how one of those is already yours, the kingdom of heaven, and the others will become ours as we faithfully make our way toward God. And remember in this, Jesus is teaching the disciples and the apostles and the great multitude around. He is teaching what being faithful looks like, how one who follows Christ will seek to live. Teaching this to the disciples and the apostles, but also, remember we talked about this benefit of the multitudes being able to hear what someone who comes to know Christ will be able to benefit from, be blessed by, but also challenging those in the audience who claim faith in Christ and how their life needs to be a reflection to those that do not yet know Christ. Poor in spirit. Remember we talked last week that when you are poor in spirit, you will have the correct perspective of yourself before God. I'm a sinner. God is perfect. He saved me through Jesus alone. When you hunger now, that means that you will desire to seek God first and you will allow your life to become like He says. When you weep now, you will be wounded over the impacts of sin. And remember, we talked last week how you'll be impacted over what sin has done and can do to your personal life. But the weeping more extends to what sin does to the lives of those who do not yet know Christ and the forgiveness that He offers. And then it talked about when you are reviled, how we are to stand firm on the truth regardless of its impact, whether that impact is worldly or personally. Jesus was teaching last week at the results level, giving a desired spiritual maturity target. He says, when you come to have faith in me, this is what you can expect. He's outcome driven. But we see today in this same teaching that Jesus has almost set the high outline for his, and now he starts talking about very detailed and very specific and very practical things that we need to pay attention to as we walk through this. Verse 27, we need to be reminded, Jesus says, but I say to you. Jesus is teaching. Red letters. Jesus has a captive audience. They are all have come to him. Remember this, that if you call Jesus your Savior and your Lord, when you call him your Savior and your Lord, he, as we talked about in our Sunday school class this morning, Jesus has all the authority. And so when we come to know him as Savior and Lord, he has the right and the authority to tell you what to do, right? To tell us how to live. And when Jesus gets into these verses that we just read, he doesn't pull any punches. Jesus tells people how this new life in Christ will look in its specific attitudes and in its specific actions. Jesus is diving into the details of life, areas that we may prefer for him not to speak about. Do you have conversations with people, or do you have topics in your life that are off limits? We're just not talking about that. We don't go there. Well, here's what I'm telling you today in Scripture. Jesus goes there. And we have some decisions to make as Jesus goes there. Verse 27, he goes on to say, I say to you who hear. Now, Jesus makes a very specific delineation in this statement. Jesus realizes that he just drew a line and you're going to make a choice. They were, in this moment, going to make a choice onto which side of that teaching line of Jesus you were going to be on. Jesus says, you who hear. Jesus is not simply saying, I say to you who hear my voice. Jesus is not making a sensory statement. He's not going to those of you who have the ability to hear and can hear me. That's not who he's talking to when he says, you who hear. Jesus is really saying, I say to you who will listen to me. And you're going to be challenged. You see, you, even though you don't physically have one, you have the remote in your hand. You get to decide whether you hit mute or not. You know what mute does, right? Mute says, TV show, keep on going. I'm just not going to listen to it. Or you have the decide to pause it and go, I don't want to deal with this right now. Or you can let it play and hear and listen to what Jesus says. Because we all know that you can hear without actually listening. Jesus said this many times in Scripture, he who has ears, let him hear. Now, what he's not saying in that is he's saying there are people who did not have ears. No, he's saying that since you can hear, you get a decision. Are you going to listen to me? Blessed are those who listen to what I say. Listening is an action of putting things into motion in your life. In those areas where Jesus uses the terms, he who has ears, let him hear, and go look for it. It's in there a lot of times. Jesus is encouraging people to listen to him, to allow what they audibly hear to transition into their hearts and lives and to change how they may live. Romans 10:17 says this, so then faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now that is not just a test of, this is not a hearing test we're having here. Scripture says that faith comes by hearing, by listening to what God has for us in the gospel. You see, church, we know that faith is not an audible exercise. You're not granted faith simply because you have ears that work that allow you to hear what Jesus said. No, we know that faith requires a decision, a faith placed in Christ. It's a life change. That's what faith brings into our lives. Church, everything that Jesus says today from his word, you will hear. Is this thing on? Yep, you can hear it. For a minute there, I'm thinking, man, this is going to go bad. They're not going to hear a thing. But you can hear what I'm saying. We work really hard to make sure that we can hear well. Online, they hear well. On the phone, they hear well. We're going to hear what Jesus says today. But the question you must answer is, will you listen to what the Lord says today? Will what Jesus says impact your life for his glory? So let's jump into it here just a little bit. And then Jesus, he's teaching them, he says, and I say to you, and I'm saying it to you who will hear me, those who will listen. And then he tells us some of the hardest things you will ever be asked to do. Summarize those. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And can I tell you that I received a phone call this week from someone closely related to this church. And that conversation did not go well. And I was literally cursed. The language and the words, it happens. Church, I'm just here to tell you, I'm reading scripture and I'm going, cursed. And then here it comes. People can get mad. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. It's not just those that use you. They use you on purpose, knowing that they're using you and really being happy that you haven't figured it out yet. Verse 29, turn the other cheek to one who strikes you. Offer more to the one who takes your personal stuff from you. Give them more. Verse 30, give to those who ask. Verse 30, give to those who take your goods and do not request it back. You know, and that happens every now and then. How many of you loan something and you just don't know when you're ever going to get it back? A lot of head shaking. Biblically speaking, count it as lost. Go get you another one. Yes, Jesus is teaching, but we need to recognize that sometimes we are incorrect when we hear this teaching. We in Sunday school today, we were talking about how Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me. And then scripture talks about how we are to go and make disciples. We, the church, sometimes think that Jesus was going, since you're my child, let me encourage you for some things that I might want you to do. We treat going and making, discipling, bringing people to Christ, we treat it as some optional exercise that Jesus is going to be proud of us when we do. Let me tell you how it looks like. You know, when I was growing up, making my bed, that's not allowance kind of money. That's not proud of you, son, kind of activity. You know what making your bed means? You live here, right? There are certain things that we are called to do. And we've got to recognize that when Jesus, who has all authority, tells us to go and tell, Jesus is not going, I'm encouraging you. No, he is Lord and Savior with all the authority. You know what he's saying? Go and tell. And if we don't go and tell, the simple fact of the matter is we are being disobedient. Absolutely disobedient. And so we need to recognize that in this teaching, Jesus is not saying, listen, your life will go better if you want to implement these self-help tips. No, Jesus is teaching us what specifically it looks like in our life to claim Christ and live for Christ in this world. He's telling this expectation of how he expects us to live to everyone who is listening. We, those who have ears, those who desire to listen, will be changed by Jesus' teaching. Do you know every time we open up God's Word, whether you do it at home, in your personal time, whether you do it as a family, or whether we come and do it on Wednesday nights, or Bible studies, or Sunday school, or right now, when we open it up, God desires to bring us closer to Him through what He's given us in His Word. Amen? We need to spend time in His Word. And Jesus is telling us, when we listen to Him in these verses, He's telling us to love, to do good, to bless, to pray, to forgive, to offer, to give, and to loan. And you know, those things are cool. When you listen to those things, none of us have any issues with those. I think that those things in and of themselves are fairly easy to do. Think about this. Sometime today, you will love, do good, bless, pray, forgive, offer, give, and loan. Many of those things you've done this week, and you're going, Jeff, I got this down. I got it. Jesus, we won't have issues with what Jesus is telling us to do. Go love, go bless, go pray. But I believe that if we will have an issue, this is where the issue comes, that we will likely have a great issue with who he is telling us to treat this way. Who benefits from your love, doing good, blessing, praying, forgiving, offering, giving, and loaning? Who benefits from that? Jesus is telling us, and I want us to spend a moment on who he's telling us to love, do good, bless, pray, forgive, offer, give, and loan to. Let me go back through this. He's asking you to do this to your enemy, your hater, your curser, your user, the one who strikes you, the one who takes, the one who asks, and the one who keeps. And to this, many in the crowd, when Jesus said this, probably said, what might be on your heart right now? You want me to do what? Yeah, right. I mean, have you ever faced those situations? Yeah, right. I'm not doing that. Think about what Jesus is really asking us to do. Let me drive it down just a little bit further. So, Jesus, you want me to love them after what they've done to me? You want me to do good after they've treated me that way? You want me to be nice to them after what they've said to me? You want me to stay involved with them after they have used me? You want me to be patient with them? You want me to give to them even after they've taken from me? You want me to loan to them even though I may never get it back? You want me to give without interest or commitment of ever being repaid? You want me to do what? Hold that thought. We'll be back. You see, Jesus goes on and teaches before we talk about our response. As part of his teaching, Jesus, I believe, removes their ability to be partially obedient. Now, there is no real partial obedience. You guys are already shaking your head. You know where I'm going. Partial obedience is called disobedience. But sometimes we like to make claims that we have done things, and so we give ourselves credit for being obedient. And Jesus is going to remove our opportunity to mark that box, to check that box. You see, in verse 32, he says, it's not so special to love people who love you. You see that? And then he goes on to say, because sinners do that. Verse 33, you're not really special if you do good to those who do good to you, because sinners do that. Verse 34, it's not special to loan when you know it will be giving back because sinners even do this. And so what Jesus is saying is sinners know how to love, to do good, and to loan. They do it with people all the time. Jesus has removed the ability for his listeners to claim obedience. He reminded them that they're not really being different than the sinners, when all we choose to do is be good to those who are good to us. He reminded them every single time that they were not really being any different than sinners. Three times, boom, boom, boom. Church, Jesus is teaching us to act in this way. And why? Well, for the benefit of sinners, not for the benefit of ourselves. And that's where we have to really draw our lines differently. You see, Jesus' purpose was, and I'm just referring back to Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. I'm just going to read those again. Because remember, Jesus stood up in the synagogue before he kicked off his ministry and said, this is my purpose. He said this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then recall not too many verses later in Luke chapter 5, verses 31 and 32, Jesus said this. Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus's entire teaching of the gospel was focused on the only thing that really mattered, and that was a person's soul as it related to sin. Everything Jesus taught comes back to that. Everything he did was to bring about the possibility of redemption, forgiveness, and righteousness to mankind, even his teaching. And he's teaching us. And while he's teaching us, he has the sinners, not the well, but the sinners on his mind. And he's telling us that we, as we live, should have those same exact sinners on their mind. And you're going, "Jeff, so you've created us against them." Well, can I just remind you that before you came to know Christ, that's who you were. So church, don't lose fact. Don't lose sight of that, because Jesus is going to remind us of that as well. But these people, sinners, the ones who do not know Jesus, they should be on our mind every single day. Now, church, don't miss this next verse. Look at verse 31. "And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise." You know, earlier and in other places, Jesus has stated what the greatest commandment is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus sees these two commands as actually one singular thing. So church, I could tell you that what Jesus is calling me to do, what Jesus is calling them to do, what Jesus is calling you to do in this moment is really, really hard. So let me seek to, as I was studying this week and praying this week, let me seek to provide just a little bit of perspective. In order for us to love, do good, bless, pray, forgive, offer, give, and loan, I believe there are two things that we must do. Number one is we must see them, the people that have hurt us, as people who are hurting and acting the way they're acting because they do not know Jesus and the change that that life affords. Remember, we've talked about how we are blessed and we are blessed and we are blessed and we are blessed. Do you know that people who do not know Jesus? Woe, 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 woe. Same scriptures. They get the bad end of it. They have no hope. Have you ever wondered how people go through loss without knowing Jesus? I can tell you the answer. Poorly. Can I remind you what people do when they're hurting with no hope? They do awful. We Christians barely do passable. Can you only imagine how they feel when they don't have hope? And so we must see them. We must see them as Jesus sees them, and he sees them as people that are not yet reconciled, word of the day, reconciled to him. And church, we must put ourselves in their position. You see, it's one thing for us to see them. I physically see you right now. It's a totally different thing for us to see them. You guys get my, just like hearing and listening, seeing. And in order for us to see them, we must seek to put ourselves in their position, physically, emotionally, morally, experientially, and spiritually. Let me ask you this question. If you were them, lost, without hope, and if you were them, how would you want to be treated? How would you want to be treated? How would you want God to treat you. And so in order for that perspective, we have to first see them. But it's not enough. We also have to see ourselves more clearly. Look at verse 35. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Jesus is reminding those who know Christ that they have received mercy. Do you know what mercy means? You know, when you receive mercy, you actually are not getting what you deserve. And Jesus is going, you need to see that you have been granted mercy, that God has done that. God has shown us mercy. God has shown you mercy. Now, I don't know about you, and I wish I could state that prior to knowing Jesus, this was my description, but at times in my life, post knowing Jesus, I've been an enemy, a hater, a curser, a user, a striker, a taker, an asker, a keeper. And when we see them as lost, we must first see ourselves as used to be lost, used to be separated from God, used to have no hope. When we see them as lost, separated from Jesus, not only does it explain how they live like they do, but last week's sermon says that we should also have our hearts broken for them because they are in sin and do not know Jesus. When we see ourselves as saved, as given God's grace and being shown God's mercy, receiving forgiveness and righteousness through Jesus, it should remind us not only that we are saved, but it should remind us that Jesus can save them. Can I tell you that if Jesus can save Jeff Rasnick, if Jesus can save you, and I know some of you pretty well, but if Jesus can save me, he can save anybody. I heard one. Amen. So let's back up just a second. The sermon just got longer. You ever read these books and all of a sudden if the book finishes, if you go this way, the book finishes now, and if you go this way, the book finishes later? You guys just chose later. Sorry. So let's just clarify a couple of things. Do you remember life before Jesus? No hope, no peace, no comfort, no relationship. Do you benefit from knowing Jesus today? Mercy, grace. And Jesus is saying, because you have come from being that to now being one who is made right because of Jesus, you need to see, one, don't forget where you've been, because that act of mercy and grace is a great tool in our lives for God to remind us that he can save others. But two is, you need to remember that the people who are these negative things, he can save them too. Would you want mercy or grace, or would you want what you deserved? And if you're an enemy, a hater, a curser, a user, a striker, a taker, an asker, or a keeper, how would you want God to treat you? Jesus is teaching us, and I'll say teaching, but I'll remind you that he is telling us what the life of one yielded to him looks like. Jesus is teaching us, telling us to think of the sinner in the way that you go about living your life. Be thinking, how can they be brought to an understanding of the blessings of God that are available through and only through Jesus? Jesus says that if we live like he says, teaches, then they will see Jesus in us, and then Jesus can draw them to him. You see, one day as we, those of us who are in the faith, stand before the Lord as saved people at the judgment seat of Christ, we will not stand accountable for our sin, but Scripture does say that we will stand accountable for how we lived our life from the moment we came to know Jesus until we stood before him. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, if you want to make that note. And let me ask you on that day, imagine that day. You're standing before Jesus. You're at the great white, I may have said the judgment seat of Christ. You're at the great white throne judgment. You are on your way into heaven. You're standing before Jesus and you're being held accountable for how you've lived since you've come to know Christ. Ask you these questions. On that day, will any of the things that have been done to you prior really matter? Just think about that. Will they really matter? In that moment, will anything that was done to you really matter? On that day, will any of the things that you withheld from other people, good, bless, pray, forgive, these things, right? On that day, will any of the things that you withheld from anybody, will it matter? The answer to the first one is, will anything that's been done to me matter in that time? The answer is no. I'm standing before Jesus. My eternity is with him and it is settled. It's all good. The challenge that we have to face is that will it matter to anybody else, anything that you withheld? The answer is possibly. Possibly it's going to matter that you withheld something that you were called to do. You see, those who stand at the judgment seat of Christ I keep getting them crisscrossed in my notes because I wrote it wrong. So let's clarify this. When we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, we're saved and we're on our way into heaven. But when everybody who does not know Jesus, they will stand at the great white throne judgment. And when you're in line, I don't know about you, but I don't like being in line. When things start backing up, I'm trying to figure out ways to hurry. Let me just give you a perspective of what's going to happen at the great white throne judgment. There's going to be a line, and everybody in that line is hopeless. They will be separated from God forever with no chance of being made right. And that line is the best thing that they have left. Because when they stand before God without Jesus, they will bow and recognize who Jesus is, Scripture teaches us, but they will do so on the way to a place the Bible calls hell. I want to give you just a little bit of counsel in the way that you may choose to live your life. It's how Angela and I remind ourselves and seek to live our lives. You're going to have two choices at the end of about anything that you go through. You're going to be glad that you did whatever it is that you did. Or you're going to wish you had done something. Think about this. When you come to me and you go, well, I've got this tough situation and I may have to go and I'm thinking maybe I need to go see this person and I need to talk to them. And I'm going, you need to decide in this moment, after it's all said and done, if you went, will you be glad you went? And if you don't go, will you regret it? Church, can I tell you that regret is harder to overcome than wishing you had? Being glad that you did. It's harder to overcome. So I want to encourage you, live your life being glad that you did. Don't live your life one day looking back going, I wish I had. So Jesus tells us, you want me to love them after what they've done to me? Yes. You want me to do good to them after how they've treated me? Yes. You want me to be nice to them after what they've said to me? Yes. You want me to stay involved with them after they have used me? Yes. You want me to be patient with them? Yes. Do you want me to give to them after they've taken from me? Yes. You want me to loan to them even though I may not get it back? Jesus says, yes. You want me to give without interest or commitment of being repaid? Yes. And Jesus says, and when we say to Jesus, you want me to do what? Jesus said, I want you to live before them exactly like I treated you. Church, this is strong. Some of you were listening up until the point that I reminded you of how the Scripture has put you in a bind. And you may have just closed it then. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus is going, yes, 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 that's the way I want you to live. In the end, church, being obedient to Christ and standing before Him, hearing Him say, well done, will mean everything. Standing before Him, being reminded, Jeff, you should have. Jeff, I told you. Jeff, you should have. Jeff, you should have. Now, I know I'm getting ready to walk right into heaven in that moment, but I tell you what. You know why Scripture says that in heaven there will be no more tears and sadness? I'm still out here. I'm going to regret it in that day. Because I'm going to know that my Savior was right and I should have trusted Him. Church, can I tell you that most likely you know somebody like this and God's going to put them in your life, back in your life, and you're going to have an opportunity to either follow the teaching of Christ or not hear Him. Think of what Jesus has told us to do and think of what is best for them. Don't let that wasp sting you. I'm going to smack it if it comes back up here. He's right there, so just be careful. Okay, now, that right there is Satan springing around this room trying to distract you from making a decision. Okay? Heather, did you get it?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Now, let's make a point. Okay, we're all changing seats now. Let's make a point. Let's make one final point before we close. Let's use this right here. I don't know how. No. Don't be distracted from what God wants us to do. He had you up to a point. Just cross on over. Be obedient. Treat others as you have been treated. It could make an eternal difference in their lives. Amen.